Thank you very much for being here tonight, and I think we have a relatively good crowd tonight, considering the fact that it is extremely cold outside, and we have so many away, but we're glad that all of you have come tonight. I do have some sad news to report, however. I read this on the internet, and I'll share it with you. It says, please join me in remembering a great icon in the entertainment community. The Pillsbury Doughboy died yesterday of a yeast infection. And trauma complications from repeated pokes in the belly. He was 71 and rolling in dough. Doughboy was buried in a lightly greased coffin. Dozens of celebrities turned out to pay their respects, including Ms. Butterworth, Hungry Jack, the California Raisins, Betty Crocker, the Hostess Twinkies, and Captain Crunch. The gravesite was piled high with flowers, F-L-O-U-R-S. Aunt Jemima delivered the eulogy, and lovingly described Doughboy as a man who never knew how much he was needed. Born and bred in Minnesota, the Doughboy rose quickly in show business, but his latter life was filled with turnovers. He was not considered a very smart cookie, wasting much of his dough on half-baked schemes. Despite being a little flaky at times, he still was a crusty old man and was considered a positive role model for millions. Doughboy is survived by his wife, Play-Doh. Three children, John Doe, Jane Doe, and Dosie Doe. Plus, they had one in the oven. He is also survived by his elderly father, Pop-Tart. The funeral was held at 3:50 for about 20 minutes. Aren't you glad to know that when you leave this world, that there is hope for us who die? It really. You know, I'm glad tonight to tell you that your condition does not necessarily have to be your conclusion. The word condition, as defined by Webster, is a mode of being or form of existence of a person or a thing or a state at a particular time. You know, what we need to understand, I think, as God's people is that whatever we face in life, whatever we're going through, does not really have to be our conclusion. Now, sometimes when we face problems or adversity in life, we just kind of accept the fact that's the way it is, and that has to be the conclusion of all things. And that's not really true at all. And so I want to share with you tonight this thought. Your conclusion is not based upon your condition. Now, first of all, we need to understand our condition. You know, every one of us have a certain condition going on in our life tonight. And you may be the only one that knows it. Every one of us have some kind of battle that we are fighting or some kind of dilemma that we wake up to every morning. But I know one thing, that God has declared my end from my beginning. Did you know that? Isn't that a marvelous thought that God knows us from beginning to the end? And, you know, the Bible says that the ending of a thing is better than the beginning. And so God knows us from our very beginning of life, and he knows all that we're going to go through our life to the very end. Now, that to me is just a marvelous thought, that God knows what you had to go through today. He knows what you're going through right now. And he is telling you that your condition does not have to be your conclusion. It does not. In the book of Isaiah 41 and verse 26, the Bible speaks of God as one who had declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous, yea, none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. Isaiah 48 and verse 3 said, I've declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, and I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Do you know one of the great tests of a prophet in the Old Testament was this, that whatever he prophesied, it would come true. And it did. It wasn't by happenstance, and it wasn't luck, but it was because God had prophesied it to take place. And in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord God. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This declaration of God and what he said gives me peace in knowing that my condition is not the end, it is just the beginning. We need to understand that God really does have a plan for our life. You know, a lot of people go through life without really comprehending the plan of God for their lives. But God really, through all that we have to go through in life, is obviously trying to release unto us the conclusion that he desires. Because God does not make a mistake in choosing to deal with your condition. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I wonder if God knows that I'm having all these problems. I'm going to tell you something. God knows all about you. He formed you. He made you in his image. And every problem that you encounter in this life, God is not oblivious to. You know, you don't have to call upon God and say, hey, God, did you know this is going on? Or God, do you realize what I'm facing in life? God knows exactly what you're going through. As a matter of fact, he even knows it before you go through it. He is well aware of what you are going to face tomorrow morning when you get out of bed. And he right now is prepping you, and I really believe that, through this lesson, and I hope that it does prep you, to deal with whatever problem that you have to face tomorrow and to realize that your condition is not your conclusion. It isn't. For in Isaiah 54 and verse 17, Isaiah said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Now, isn't that an amazing thought? No weapon that is formed against you. And he's not talking about carnal warfare here. He is talking about anyone that tries to wage a war against your spirit to destroy you or to harm you in any way. He says, no weapon, whether it is from Satan or whether it is from anyone else that is formed against you shall prosper. He says, in every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord God. We need to understand that a condition is a weapon that the enemy forms against us, but the scripture says that those weapons cannot prosper, not at all. Now stop and think about that tonight. What might be one of the weapons that the enemy has formed against you that causes us to step back in fear and oppression in life? Well, I know one thing, that whatever it is, that God can take that weapon and use it for my good. One of the great promises, I'm going to tell you one of the most profound statements ever found in all of Holy Writ. And it's one of my very favorite passages because it speaks to me in volumes. In the book of Romans 8:28, Paul the Apostle says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Let me share it with you one more time, and I want you to listen to the impact of it. He says, for we know. Paul did not assume. Paul says, we know. Paul did not think. Paul says, I know. On one occasion, Paul says, I know whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Here, Paul uses that same terminology. He says, for we know, not just me, but he says, you can know it too. He says, for we know that all things work together for good. Not everything is good, but all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now we need to understand that everything that is happening in this world for those of us who are Christians will eventuate for our good. Sometimes people say, well, I can't understand, you know, how me being sick is going to help provide good for me in the future. Well, it does. Sometimes people say, well, I can't understand how my financial problems that I'm having to go through right now will serve for my good in the future. It will. And I'm not here tonight to analyze all of them and tell you how God is going to bring all of that together for your good. But I can tell you very confidently tonight that according to what God says, it will result in your good. And whatever you have to face, God will see you through it. And I'm going to tell you, that's the greatest promise of all. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul the Apostle said, "For my grace," speaking of God, "my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in my weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul had a deep insight into the working of God. And he realized that whatever infirmity that he had in life, that God was using that and God was working through him to bring himself glory. And so Paul says, "I will glory in my infirmity." You know what most of us do? Most of us bemoan our fate. Most of us get upset when we go through problems. And when we're having those moments of infirmity, it's not something that we really want to rejoice about. It's something we want to tell everybody else about and get them to join in on the pity party. Paul didn't do that. Paul says, "I will glory in my infirmities for this one reason, that everybody will look at me and pity me." No. But he says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Your condition does not have to be your conclusion. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't be, because I've seen some people who resolve to accept their condition and not allow God to work through them. And that brings me to another point. What can change my condition? Prayer. One of the great characters of the Old Testament was a king. His name was Hezekiah. You may not remember a lot about this man, but if you know much at all about biblical history and about Hezekiah, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 20, you will remember that Hezekiah received a message from God that he was going to die. Now, very few people in the Old Testament or even in the New actually received a formal message from God, "Your death is imminent." Do you know that most people die at unexpected times? I think several years ago I told you that statistically, Brandy, you can bear me out on this too, but statistically, most people die at 3 o'clock in the morning. And believe it or not, when I made that statement a few years ago, you would not believe the number of people that came to me and said that they set their alarm for 3 o'clock. They didn't want it to happen during their sleep. Most deaths are untimely, and most deaths occur when we least expect it to happen. But in this particular setting, God told this king, Hezekiah, he says, "You are going to die. Your death is imminent." But Hezekiah does something that's very interesting here. He does not allow his destiny, that is his death, to deter from his faith. Because he appeals unto God as a son, and I want you to notice how he does this. He doesn't say, "Oh God, let me live for a few more years. Let me live to see my grandchildren graduate from high school, or let me live to see my grandchildren become followers of thee." He didn't say that. But he appeals to God as a son who has not finished his work for God. And he bends on the grace of his father to grant him the time that he needs to complete what God wants him to do. He did not allow the condition of his death to distract him from his prayer of faith. One thing Hezekiah learned, and that many of us do not learn, is that your condition does not have to control you, but you can control your condition. Do you know there are some things in life that you are powerless to change and that you are powerless to control? But there are some things that you can control. And we can do that through the avenue of prayer. That's why God said for us to pray. You know, a person sick, you pray. We pray for sick folks up here all the time. We're not just praying to, you know, offer up a lot of verbiage before God. We're not up here just to hear ourselves say a few words and feel a little good about it when we leave. But when we bring our petitions genuinely and sincerely before the throne of God, he does not turn a deaf ear to us. In the book of James 5 and verse 16, the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, what that says to me is that we have control over our condition, and that the condition doesn't have to be the conclusion. That is, it is sufficient to bring about a desired result. Think about this. Why does the Bible say to pray for the sick? Why does the Bible say to pray for kings and rulers in high places if prayer does not move the hand of God in the heart of men? Because it does. Did you know the only thing, according to the Bible, that will change the course, and it can change the course, and don't walk out of here and misunderstand what I'm saying. God has a very definite plan. We read about that in the Word of God. But there are plans of God that are not recorded in the Bible that we know nothing at all about. And that the prayer of faith allows God to alter His plan. Now let me tell you how that works and why that happened. Go back to that story of Hezekiah. Now Hezekiah goes to God and he pleads that he may finish the work that God has asked him to do. You know what God did? God didn't say, no, it's all over, it's in my plan, you're going to die, that's it, it's over, done, sealed, delivered. No, he gives Hezekiah an additional 15 years of life. Boy, how about that one? Just a simple prayer? Absolutely. That's why the Bible says we pray. And that brings me to one last thought. When we think about the fact that our conclusion does not necessarily have to rest upon our condition, we pray about it, and then there's one other thing we need to do. And that is expect to see the hand of God. It is said that expectation is the breeding ground for the blessings of our Lord, the blessings of God. Hezekiah did not just pray to hear himself pray, but he prayed with expectation. He didn't know when God was going to answer his prayer, but he knew it had to come before he died. In Revelation 12 and verse 11, the Bible says that they overcame by him and by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and that they loved not their lives even unto death. Well, your condition tonight may not be that of death imminently. It could be a number of things that we ought to pray about. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of these things could lead to your physical demise. Drugs. I'm known of people who've been so involved and enmeshed in drug abuse that it is leading them to an early grave. Some overdose. Not uncommon to hear that people overdose on drugs every day. It can happen. Sometimes people are so involved with alcohol that alcohol will lead a man to an early grave. I've preached a number of sermons through the years on alcoholism. Not only that, I've preached a number of funerals for those who didn't accept the challenge that was presented in a sermon concerning alcohol. Alcohol is a drug. Slice it any way you want to. Call it anything you want to. It is a drug. And people often abuse it. One of our big problems in society today is underage use of alcohol. Young people that cannot handle their alcohol, and they have gotten it illegally. Smoking may be your condition right now. I've had of loved ones in my family, those for whom I have spoken at memorial services, who went to an early grave because they smoked. People say, well, smoking is a respectable sin. No, it's not. Your condition tonight may be pain of some kind that you're going through. Doesn't have to be your conclusion. It may be abuse. You may be suffering abuse tonight at the hands of someone. Doesn't have to be your conclusion. God says that your conclusion is just a trick of the devil. It is a wile of the devil. It is a scheme of the devil to make you feel that you will always be bound by this particular condition. But notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, Moses had a condition, but his condition didn't have to become his conclusion. Now, if you go back to the book of Exodus 2 and verse 12, you will read that, and this is very interesting. Read this. The Bible says of Moses that he looked this way and he looked that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. Now, put all this in perspective. The reason he slew the Egyptian, remember, Moses is down in Egypt. And he sees one of his fellow brethren being abused by the Egyptians, their taskmasters. And so Moses becomes enraged at what is going on. And so he looks this way and he looks that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he decided to slay the Egyptian. And he hid him in the sand. It was his condition. But it was not his conclusion. For you will remember that Moses became the great leader of God's people. You remember the story of Naaman in the Old Testament and how the Bible in the book of 2 Kings 5 in verse 10 says that Elijah sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the river Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come to thee again and thou shalt be clean. It was his condition, but it was not his conclusion. He washed in the River Jordan, and that leprosy that once plagued his body, that leprosy that was his condition, abated. And his skin became as pure as a child. Sometimes people just accept their condition. Instead of dealing with it, and they allow it to become their conclusion. But you don't have to. I'm here to tell you tonight because God gives us the power to overcome. I think one of the greatest thoughts for those of us who are Christians is the fact that we can be overcomers. And Jesus said, as I have overcome, you too shall overcome. And we do it through the victory of our faith in Christ. I hope that we'll remember this. I hope you'll remember this lesson tomorrow, that you'll not forget it. You know, I don't get up here just to preach a lesson just for the sake of preaching a lesson. That's not what this is about. But it's for the purpose of helping us and trying to strengthen us and to develop us into becoming the kind of people that God really wants us to become. And so tomorrow when you face your dilemma, you may get out of bed and you may face another condition. Understand that it doesn't have to be the conclusion. You know what? Solomon said, here's the conclusion of the matter. That's what he said. Fear God, respect him, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's the conclusion. It ought to be the conclusion of every individual, that we honor God, that we live for him. And when that time comes, when God brings us to himself, that our lives will have been lived in such a wonderful way that our conclusion is one that pleases and honors God and brings ultimate joy to those of us who are his children. Now, if you believe tonight with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're not a Christian, then I'm going to tell you something. If you accept your conclusion right now, the way you are, you'll be lost forever. Your conclusion is not good. Your condition's not good. You need to repent of your sin and acknowledge your faith in Christ as his son and be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins. Maybe some in this audience tonight need to do that. Maybe there's some who need to rededicate their life to Jesus Christ. Because you see your condition for what it is right now. Let me ask you a question tonight in closing. Would you want your condition right now to be your conclusion? And if you don't, then do something about it. While we stand and while we sing.